This is The Podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, Texelly and Gunselly. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words The Podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow The Podcast on Twitter as @ThePodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
This call is now being recorded.
Hey, it's Gun on the crummy end.
And it's Texelly testing our new condenser microphone.
Yes, and I am trying to test out our Facebook group. Did you see the group rules?
Yeah, except for I just pasted Goatsy 9 times in a row on there.
Yes, yes, and then a bunch of sunglasses ads.
Hey, I tried this.
No gay porn. Yes, the three things that I established, that we've established on the podcast, which is being civil, no trolling or slurs, no agreeing to disagree, because that's not how discussions work, and, advertising is allowed, but no spamming, and any advertisement post must be in some way relevant to what we're talking about on the podcast. And no rhyming girl with world.
I'm totally down with that. I remember you ranting about it, and I was with you on it. Where the song "This Is My Fight" song, "Prove Them All Right" song. I've heard it now a couple of dozen different times. She either has the most supportive group of friends and family around her, and she's trying to prove them right, or she is actually saying, "Prove I'm all right."
Right. That's what somebody told me that, like, without even blinking. They were like, "It's prove I'm all right."
Ah, okay.
Which that's just not a turn of phrase. So that's what threw me, is she's sort of making up her own phrase, but, you know, whatever.
You kind of have to do if you're singing crap.
Yes, it makes her less than, she's not entirely behind the eight ball then, so that's good. Which is what I was thinking she was. Okay, do you want to stop recording and see how this sounds?
I honestly got a good feeling that it's getting good audio, because if you can hear me, then Google Voice can hear me.
Well, my only issue is the one time we did this, and you sounded real nice. So I want to do a playback test to see how it sounds here.
Okay, all right. I guess I will hang up and then call you back.
All right. I tried to put together the studio last night. And despite all the help in the world from my beautiful producer here, we still had this weird, like, it sounded like I was talking in a hurricane. So, like, a hurricane was right over top of me and going south. So we're going to need to debug that, figure that out. So we'll have to stick with Google Voice for the time being.
He was fantastic on season 3 with David Tennant and,
what?
He said we have to stick with it for the time being. So I was making a
really time lord
reference there. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Gotcha. He's not just a time being. He is a time lord.
Who made him king? I don't remember voting.
I didn't vote for him.
No, we see the violence inherent in the system. All right, we've devolved into
Monty Python.
Monty Python, which all conversations eventually devolve into. But
yes, I need to jump in here with a couple serious stories. This is Gunn reporting from D.C. There are some two creepy stories that just haven't made it to the mainstream for some reason. And one is we We basically have been hating the wrong group of terrorists for about 18 years now. Don't get me wrong, they're still terrorists and they've still done really bad things, but specifically for the Khobar Towers attack, it was apparently it was actually Iranian-backed terrorists.
Huh.
So we thought it was Al-Qaeda, and it was actually Iranian-backed terrorists. So we, you know, that was literally suppressed by the Bush, or sorry, not Bush, the Clinton administration, which that's pretty heavy duty stuff to come out with now. And somebody I was talking to about it said, you know, well, how could they have done that? There's so many people in the know. And of course, that's just like, really? Like, right now, there are people in the DIA trying to sue the current administration to actually release the information to the Department of Defense that is the intel on the ground in Syria. That was going on right before Russia started kicking butt over there. Our Defense Intelligence Agency, was collecting signatures to protest the fact that our government will just go, hey, everything's fine over here in this area over here where all hell is breaking loose, and we're just going to not talk about that. And, that's happening nowadays. Imagine what the Clinton administration could have gotten away with back in the 90s, before Twitter, before the new media, before, you know, Breitbart, all those, you know, guys really got big and got heavy. Just no checks and balances, basically. They could have just said anything and done anything. So I will post this in the forum.
Yeah, definitely. The talking about being able, I mean, that's the reason why I've never been a conspiracy theorist, is because, you know, the government is, you know, usually either completely bureaucratic or 100% inept or just inherently evil at any given point. It's, and so many times, you know, one side of it doesn't know what the other side of it's doing. There's been times where we've funded both sides of a war. There's been times where we've given intelligence that compromised our own people, not knowing that we had our own people in those situations.
Right.
Group couldn't even hide a blue dress. So, you know, I doubt there's a vast amount of wealth of knowledge there. I'm guessing it's more, you know, it wasn't expedient to their current desires.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's more that, you know, suppress this or suppress that. We don't want any bad news getting out there because I'm too busy hiding blue dresses. That's out there. One of the other crazy stories that we're not getting a lot of press about, which if you ask anyone in the United States, President Barack Obama is still, well, any Democrat in the United States, they'll tell you President Barack Obama is still loved all around the world. He's you know, brought the shining city on the hill back to America that George Bush totally screwed up and dinged with his hillbilliness. But in all actuality, people all around the world are screaming for President Obama to give back his Nobel Peace Prize and all that sort of stuff because he just killed 20 people.
Yeah, the exact same point when there's a spree shooter. The president's like, that's a small number of bodies. I can easily match that or do better.
Yeah, he, you know, I mean, why do I say he? Of course, I don't mean President Barack Obama went over there and blew those people up. That's ridiculous. But that's exactly what
my in the trenches Democrat friends said about George Bush. You know, he was the one over there blowing up people in Afghanistan. So I guess now that George Bush is not in the office, I guess President Barack Obama, who is murdering innocent people in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And I mean,
well,
we're talking people from all over the world who are there with Doctors Without Borders and
Medicines on Frontières. So, yeah, I
would
make it sound, every time I try to say it's a French name, Medicines on Frontières, every time I say it, I make it sound Spanish.
Yeah, I know. I was like
4 years of Spanish.
Who knows Afghanistan? Why is this guy speaking Spanish? He's in the wrong theater.
Or there's the homeopathic group that goes over there, Medicine San Medicine.
Yes, me. Medicine without medicine.
I know I've stolen that joke from somewhere, so yeah. Let me know who I stole that from in an email or a forum post.
I can only imagine it's Penn Jillette. That I think he's the only one who's doing stand-up that has a beef with homeopathy.
Yeah, except for his style of humor is a little more on the nose usually. I don't know. It could be. Hopefully somebody will correct me. Because I'd like to find out, because that's a funny joke. It's crazy. Well, and this has been my rant all along. If we want less taxes, if we want to be able to fund things like mental health in the United States, if we want to be able to not be in crippling debt to China and other people who are really bad people on the global scale, then the way to do that is to quit blowing people up with $75,000 rockets.
Yeah. Yeah, well, $75,000 is that's a cheap rocket.
Yeah, well, the drones are in some of them are up close to $1 million per shot.
Yeah.
So I was going for the mid-range pack there.
Yeah, drones are kind of a step towards, that's a step towards, being less expensive, because for a while there we were doing, guided missiles. Remember, that was the whole thing back in the 90s was, hey, we can guide missiles. And so the missile can actually slow down and the missile can guide and the missile can do this and that and we can control it. And it's like, okay, I'm glad we got to the drone point to kind of alleviate that. Because that's literally, let's put a navigation system and a guided system and a comms system and then blow that comms system and everything else up.
Recently, Stephen Hawking and a bunch of other intellectual luminaries got together and wrote a letter calling on the UN to ban the use of AI in warfare. And I understand where they're going with that, but you know, my hope has always been that at some point, and we've seen this with part of the reason why gang violence is down across the United States is kids have resorted to you know, they'll have turf wars and they'll settle it over NBA 2K. You know, they'll settle it over Madden. They'll hash out their beefs in other ways other than shooting each other. And so my hope is that, you know, all right, my hope is that at some point after we've got our robots killing their robots, our AI killing their AI, our drones killing their drones, our autonomous vehicles killing their autonomous vehicles, we just sit down and say, hey, this is pointless, and then get together, have giant robot combat matches in arenas. We sell tickets, and whoever wins gets whatever piece of property they've been fighting over.
Yes, and every country knows that even though they both enter triumphantly, one must fall.
Exactly. See, my entire goal for the future is that at some point one must fall must occur, which, by the way, if you look that up on the internet, fantastic game from the 90s. But
yes.
Although I wonder if, as I'm saying that, if I'm making the same mistake that one of the Wright brothers, I think it was Wilbur Wright, made. He said, you know, clearly the invention of the airplane will bring peace to the world because, you know, we'll see that we're all connected or something. I can't remember what his thought was.
Little did he know in a decade somebody would be chucking dynamite out of it at a gangster.
Yeah, and then the next step is dropping the atom bomb. And so, you know, definitely the airplane did not bring peace. But the thing is, like, soldiers rarely ever does a soldier kill anybody. You know, there's a whole lot of suppressing fire, those kind of things. It rarely ever does a soldier know that they've killed somebody, and they'll often fire over people's heads intentionally to avoid killing other people because, hey, you know, at our core, we know it's a rough thing to have to kill somebody. And so a lot of the soldiers that come back, the PTSD is from having to have killed people. With drones, with bomb strikes, those kind of things, there is definitely a body count with those. And we've seen reports of soldiers, drone pilots, having PTSD because they've seen the drones hit. They know. They've caused bodies to happen. You know, it's one of those where if we take the human element out of it, there will be more bodies because, you know, a computer can make a judgment call without making a moral, ethical call. You know, they're not going to look at this thing and go, oh, well, maybe that's just, you know, even though he's in the right spot, maybe that's an innocent, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas people can make that snap judgment, like, oh, holy crap, he's holding a drawing his daughter drew. Maybe he's not the guy we're after. Whereas, you know, computer's gonna size him up, right height, right weight, you know, similar bone structure. All right, kapow. So, you know, therein lies the scary part of using AI. But, you know, I would just hope that at some point logic. Well, and this is my failing. The logic and reason would reign supreme, and people would go, hey, this is all kind of pointless. You know, we're not gaining anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's one of those big things where to, standing against the smartest people on the planet, I have to say, it's never, ever, ever the smart move to say, don't develop technology. You know, it's technology is technology. We need to develop it. And yes, we do need to develop weaponry because even though we don't want to kill each other, I don't want to kill, the other people do.
Well,
and if
heck,
we say, hey,
they have a divine
we are going
mandate.
To cripple ourselves for going into the future, what was that?
Well, they, you know, some groups of people believe they have a divine mandate.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. If we don't basically have the best stuff, it's one of those things. The Cold War was nothing but that, and guess what? We survived the Cold War because we developed weaponry, we developed super powerful technology, we went to the freaking moon more than once. We can't just stop. We can't say, okay, we're going to go into the back room now. We're not going to hurt anybody. It's silly. You know, we need to continue to evolve. We need to continue to develop. And for God's sake, I thought the best thing over there would be if we, if we could put just a defense base. Imagine this. Imagine a base where any idiot who wants to, you know, fight for some random, you know, group, they'll go, hey, you know, this is our goal is to attack that over there. And so everyone who would be raping a 7-year-old or fighting the Free Syrian rebels or fighting Turks and Russians and our troops and the Peshmerga, instead of doing that, those guys would be saying, hey, fellow child rapist sociopaths, let's go fight that American installation over there. And they'll all mount up and give themselves pep talks and say the prayers that they need to say, and then they charge, and, you know, they fight and fight and fight and fight and fight, and a lot of them die, and the ones that come back, you know, try to get others to come and keep fighting. And meanwhile, it's just a DARPA base with a comms box inside of it, and there's literally nothing there except automated and remote access machinery.
Yeah, I'm all for reducing the risk to human life, and in your situation there, these are people actively seeking out violence.
Right. It's one of those things where people can't say, oh, everyone is just inherently sweet and kind. You have people leaving nice neighborhoods in Britain and going to Syria. You have people leaving nice neighborhoods in the United States and going to Syria. And then posting videos about it, you know, online saying it's like Disneyland. Okay, like, if you weaponize robots, guess what? Those psychopaths can fight the robots instead of fighting me and you and your offspring and your nieces and nephews. They can fight robots instead. Guess what? All they want to do is fight. We don't want to fight. We can have robots fight.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about this before. All this technology builds on the other technology, and it's a race to the bottom cost-wise. You know, that guy who had the automatic handgun on a drone, you know, he was like, hey, isn't this neat? Not really picking up on the more nefarious side is, you know, for $400 worth of parts, you can have a completely anonymous, anonymous, a gun platform, and you know, you multiply that by $400,000 or whatever, which would be a decent, easy amount of money for some of these terrorist organizations to scrape together. So if you're not developing a way to handle that, then you're opening yourself up to, you know, being able to be taken over by whoever's got the biggest nail in their bat, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's the thing about I was discussing the Iran deal. I said the Iran deal is gun control, which gun control is, well, guns are illegal, so they don't exist anymore.
That's what gun control is. Free killings are illegal.
Gun control is believing firmly in the power of magic, in magic incantations and magic talisman and magic spells written down. Because if you write it down and then you say it and then you post a sign that says, gun-free zone, then once you have done these three magical acts, no guns can enter this building. You are protected. That's,
yeah.
You have to believe that.
Yeah.
And the Iran deal is the same thing on a grander scale. It's, we told them they're not allowed to have a bomb, so they're not allowed to have a bomb. Because we told them they're not allowed to. That's it. That's all the verification they need, is knowing that they're not allowed to have one, so therefore the bomb doesn't exist. That's not how gun control works, and that's not how we evolve as a culture and technologically. This is one of those things that bothers me, is you have different people who saw how fast guns were developing and how people were becoming more savvy and more independent at home to be able to produce guns. And they started coming up with other ways to protect each other from guns. You want to talk, the mobsters figured out that wearing more clothes you know, wearing more cotton could actually slow bullets.
Yeah.
Like different advancements like that that eventually led to body armor came from horrible crime sprees and stuff like that from mobsters. And now we're using the technological enhanced versions of those things in everyday law enforcement. And the fact that we are saying, okay, well, we don't need to advance anymore. It's like, no, we need to continue advancing. We need to continue advancing with technological things that would be able to prevent people from killing people with guns. You know, like maybe bulletproofing stuff. You know, we have the ability to stop bullets with fiber. We could do that. We could have bulletproof things, bulletproof cars and windows in a less expensive way, bulletproof clothing that would be able to drastically slow a bullet. I mean, that would be evolution. That would be advancement. The fact that we're saying, no, we just need to ban guns. We need to ban guns, and that will make all guns go away. Make all guns go away. That's not possible.
Yeah, that's been my point is, okay, if I was building a utopian society, I'd say, okay, you know, we've got robot overlords that will handle all, crime and punishment. You know, you can't bring a gun into the dome, you know, and if you're caught making one, hey, that falls under crime and punishment. You know, that if you're starting from scratch, you've got a little dome that nobody else can get in. Yeah, that works. In America, though, we have, what is it, 3 guns per person? I mean, literally.
Something like that.
No more guns are allowed to be sold, and you collected up 1 gun from every person. There's still 2 guns out there for every person. And that's, you know, and that was only like ones that have been sold recently. You know, if you take historical guns, you know, like, you know, any other kind of, you know, anything that's over 100 years old, you know, that I don't think is listed in that stat. So, I mean, America has guns. You're not going to get rid of the guns. And these Looney Tunes that kill people, you know, I kind of reject the claim that just as many people are killed with knives as they are with guns. Guns are an incredibly efficient way of killing people. And so, like, we see the mass stabbing that happened in China a couple years back. The guy stabbed somewhere upwards of 30 kids, and a good portion of them died, but a good portion of them lived because it's bloody hard to kill somebody with a knife, whereas guns are really efficient at killing. So,
yeah. You know, but the thing, though, too, is to disarm a population doesn't mean it doesn't protect them. Just to, like, when you go into a place that says gun-free zone, and you walked in there and no one checked your pockets or gave you a wanding with a metal detector, then you should know in your head you're not safe.
Yeah, you're the only one who would obey that sign.
Exactly. You know, it's, you know, like the political cartoon where the guys are, you know, they're about to go rob a place and they've got their guns and the ski masks, and then they see a gun-free zone sign and they go, oh, no, we can't do this place.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah, I mean, the idea behind the gun-free things is not really to stop spree things. It's to stop, you know, Bubby and Cletus from getting angrier and angrier at each other and going, that's it, I'm just going to shoot you. You know?
Well, you know, that's what happens around here all the time. People will just get into an argument and then gun each other down. And it's like...
Oh, sorry. I just broke everything in my house. Did that come through the microphone?
Yes, it did.
Cool. That means I'm not set in unidirectional mode. I'm in omnidirectional mode. I'm learning. All right. Well, I think you and I had a bunch of topics, but we burned a huge chunk of time talking about that one. But I think it's, you know, something we're passionate about. It breaks your heart anytime you have these mass shootings. But I mean, the the thing from the left is, you know, here's something, here's the solution, this thing we can't do. The thing from the right is, let's change nothing and see if it happens again.
Right.
So
it is one of those frustrating things where, if the Democrat, you know, answer at the moment is let's stamp our feet and say that we need to get rid of all guns, and that's silly. Also, I really would like to put a fine point on, whenever anyone's saying, hey, I think they should keep mentally ill people from having guns, I would like to ask people, have they ever been diagnosed, now this is for women, with depression, specifically postpartum depression? Oh, you have? Okay, well, you never get a gun, because at some point in your adult life, you were a depressive person. You were issued lithium for a mental illness. You never get a gun. So we've kept mothers from getting guns. Okay, now let's see. You're an IT guy. Have you ever been told by a doctor that you might be hyperactive?
Yeah, definitely.
Is that something that you've been told? That's very common amongst very smart people. Have you been told that you are hyperactive?
Certainly.
Okay, well, you have a mental illness, and we want to keep guns away from dangerous people like you. So we've just eliminated mothers and working professionals in the IT business. I know not all of them are, but a lot of them have ADD.
Yeah.
So think about that. I'd like for people to think about that before they start, you know, just blanket screaming for, yes, anything that's a mental, people with mental illness. The government calls a lot of things mental illness. I honestly have had trouble sleeping. In my adult life, I've had some trouble sleeping because I work different jobs that start and end at different times of the day and night. Therefore, I've had a prescription to Ambien one time in my adult life, and I had to declare that before going into the military, and I had to explain that to people. Now, after getting out, I once again talked to a doctor about that, about how because I'm starting and ending my day at different times, I have trouble getting to sleep. Well, he prescribed me something. It was terrible. It didn't work. I haven't even finished the bottle. That was 2.5 years ago. When I went to go get another government contract, they tried to not let me get a government contract because I had a mental illness, which was insomnia. And I had to go back to the VA and get them to sign off paperwork to say that I wasn't mentally ill because I had insomnia.
You might be mentally ill, but that's not the reason.
What was that?
I said you might be mentally ill, but that's not the reason.
Yeah, no, I know.
I mean, you got to admit, you get unnaturally angry when people rhyme girl and world, okay?
What was that?
I said, you got to admit, you do get irrationally angry when people rhyme girl and world.
I'm just saying, it's been done, okay? If you are under the age of 12, I'll give you a pass, okay? But if you're over 12, you're not allowed to rhyme girl and world anymore. I could say that without exploding. See, the therapy works. Anyway.
All right. Can I slam the brakes on and take us into another, into my story?
Just let me put a bow on that, thing I was saying. So before you jump in on the thing saying, yes, make sure mentally ill people, can't get guns, just remember, if you've ever talked to a doctor about having trouble sleeping, having trouble concentrating, or being kind of sad, you might not be able to get a gun in that wonderful utopia you think you're going to live.
My thing is, there are signs, there's a type for the spree killer, and they're actually a super massive minority. I mean, gun violence is down all across the United States. We are a much less violent society than we have been. And, you know, these spree killings make the news because it's a bunch of people dead all at once. But every day, cars kill far more people. You know, that's my push for autonomous vehicles. If you want to keep more people alive, it's cars you have to worry about, not spree killers.
Right. Well, one of the things you are talking about right there about looking for the type, that sends up red flags in the Democrat mind as well, because what you're talking about is profiling, and that's
yeah. That's the thing is profiling, and we need to come up with a more PC term for it. It works. When we're in my field, when we say, we do some profiling when we're like, okay, and it's a positive thing. These people are going to need more training. We have them take a test and we say, okay, we're not going to just hand them an iPhone and boot them out in the field. We're going to say, you need to take this course, and I'll work with you to do this, not all profiling is evil. Let me hit you. Can I smash cut into my topic?
Please do.
Okay. So this week we activated all credit cards that come out from here on out need to be chip and sign cards. If you look at any modern credit card you've gotten recently, it's got a little gold looking set of squares on it. Do you have it on any of your cards?
Yeah, I get it on my Amex card, I believe.
Yeah, so it's different than the old RFID cards where, you could be in the proximity of a hacker. I mean a point-of-sale terminal, and it would activate.
You just reminded me. I said the wrong thing the other day. I said that Pakistan invented hacking. That's wrong. I meant to say viruses.
Viruses.
You remember it was two Pakistani brothers who came up with like the first known virus.
Oh yeah, okay. And it was non-violent.
Yeah, it wasn't malicious.
Virus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just spread. And they're still doing IT work, which is fascinating.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I was trying to figure out what in the world you were talking about, and that makes more sense now that you say that. Cool. All right. So anyway, and this is definite IT information security, protecting yourself. If you go to like Target now, Target got religion after their second hack. But if you have one of those cards, you can't swipe it. You have to push it up the bottom of the credit card. And, unintended. You have to then sign. Well, as a test, I've not signed any of my cards with a chip in it because they're supposed to then verify what's on the screen with what's on the back of your card and then hand it back to you, which is supposed to cut down on the fraud. And that's what my rant is over in Europe, you put in the card, you have the chip, you enter your PIN code. And that cut down fraud dramatically. In America, we sign. Well, my signature looks like I'm being attacked by rabid badgers. It never looks the same twice. It's within a range. A forensic person would probably be able to bust me if I was writing death threats to myself. But my rant is that we've done all the footwork without doing the actual one thing that would make it more secure. So we've changed our entire infrastructure and then not actually made it any more secure, which drives me bonkers. In the IT field, we can't stand whenever you do something just to do it. You know, there needs to be a reason why you're doing something.
Right.
And this case, there's no flipping reason.
Yep, that's the gun control thing there. Well, we told them that it had to be the person holding the card. And we told them that they had to sign it, so we can magically assume that they signed it.
It'll help some with I mean, it will cut down on the fraud where basically if your credit card gets stolen, within minutes, someone across the country can walk into a retailer, take a hotel key, encode your info on it. And I think we talked the last time, you know, the college I was at, we were able to do that with the equipment we had. You know, we can encode your credit card on anything. You just walk into a store, you use it, and, you know, no one's the wiser, and you've just stolen somebody's stuff, and it can happen in seconds after getting the card. That's where they've just now started seeing fallout from the Target hacks. The hackers sat on this for probably too long. Only small banks are going to be messed over by that because, the, you know, the, all the big ones have already sent us new credit cards. That type of fraud will be cut down a little by this chip and sign thing. But it's just going to move online, because all you have to do is have the card number, the expiration date, and you can go to Amazon and, you know, get the entire bag of collectible Yap and Dong coins.
Yes.
What country is it that uses Dong as their currency?
Oh gosh, I don't want to say it. I have the wrong one.
Okay.
it would be a guess.
I wanted to use the phrase "bag of dongs" in a non-sexual way. And I gotta say, mission accomplished there.
Yes, mission accomplished. Let's see here. One other local story I wanted to bring up, which is actually very cool.
Wait, local? Don't care.
Well, Eleanor Holmes Norton has brought up a DC she's a DC native here, and so Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton, she is putting forward that they should rename Rock Creek Park to be Rock Creek National Park. And why do I give a crap about this? I'll tell you why. She brought up the point that it would bring more tourism and it would help people understand that it's a national park and it would help the area in general. Now, I think this is insanely significant, especially for DC. The fact that there is now precedent for DC city planning to understand how naming stuff is significant, and why this is a huge deal. I don't know if anyone listening has ever been lost in Southeast DC, but you can be in Southeast DC, not see any monument, not see any road sign saying 2395 or 2495 or 2295. No signs that tell you where DC is. All over Southeast, in so many different parts of Southeast, there is no mention of the District of Columbia as the capital of the country, the District of Columbia 295, which cuts through and gets you to different parts of the area. There's nothing to let you know that this is a national capital inside DC. And there's so many neighborhoods that are just buried. And I think I honestly think that's one of the things that's led to so much of the feeling of exclusion. Because a lot of these kids I've worked down there, and a lot of the kids think, yeah, we're not allowed to be over there. We're not allowed to. And they think it's because of the color of their skin. They think it's because of their family. They think it's because they're separated from everyone. And I thought, it's ridiculous that people live in the capital of our country and don't feel like they belong. It's ridiculous. Or they live in the capital of the country and they think the most important thing is their neighborhood fighting with another neighborhood across the street. You know, and I've seen all of this working here and it's just heartbreaking. So I thought, you know, if Eleanor Holmes Norton applied what she's applying to Northwest, which is already a nice area, Rock Creek Park and all that to Southeast, an area that needs understanding of its national significance, then I think that area could see much better inclusion and much better, acceptance and just being part of DC, part of the DC community. So So there, that was our we get along on something happy note there.
You're still wrong about everything else, but I'll give you that one.
You're wrong! Light yourself on fire, you hippie!
You tree-hugging hippie! I love whatever. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, you're the one wanting national parks and trees to hug, so.
Yes.
All right, I got to wrap it up. We need to come out with a punch outline, send us an email, the podcast with an E at the end at gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook, also the podcast with an E at the end.
On Facebook, I've listed everything else there. We've got Twitter.
Everything except for Snapchat. That's entirely for just sending us pictures of cats.
I feel like we should be there, and we should also have a Viber, because that's...
We're both over 30. I think if you sign up for Snapchat and you're over 30, Chris Hansen just parks out in your lawn and waits for it to happen.
Hi. Have a seat. Have a seat.
Have a seat. You signed up for Snapchat. What possible reason could somebody of your age want to do that?
Yes. We also don't have a chat roulette. Is that a thing?
An Omegle.
Yes. We don't have Kick or Chat Roulette or WeChat yet. So we'll fish around here. If anyone, let me see here. We got
or
one,
Tinder,
two, three.
Or a Grindr.
Let's see. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 outlets. So if anyone has any suggestions that do not include YouTube, Vine, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or iTunes or WordPress, please tell us in the comments or on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/thepodcast.
Yeah, you and I both have Instagram accounts, right?
Yes.
You have one?
Did you want me to put yours up there too?
I do nothing with it.
You're more of a Vine guy.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely more on Vine, and I like revining. I don't create a ton, but I like revining. And there's been some hilarious Trump ones recently, where they're auto-tuning and making play music. It's adorable.
All right. All right. Well, get a hold of us. Help us grow. This is the ground floor of a media movement. So help us out.
Yeah, actually, I know. I see the numbers. People are out there listening, but I can't pick. We haven't offended anybody enough to send an email. Actually, I know how to do it. Okay. When Han Solo was on the Enterprise. What setting did he have his laser on? There you go. We'll get 300 angry.
I think he had the setting up to the fourth prime directive. That's what he had it set to.
He had it set to the last digit of pi.
Yes. Let's get the emails now.
Pissed off the math majors.
Yes, and... And then in DC, I could just pretend, cause that's, I was going to put that in the rules to the Facebook page. I was going to put that we, no Finnish people.
Oh, I like the Finns. You kind of Finn the Finns.
Yeah. Well, that was my joke is that in DC, pretend you don't like anyone and that's controversial,
Speaking of the Finns, we're talking about, mythology from that region of the planet. You and I were talking about that yesterday, the brain bender, that in the original stories, the dwarves were just another type of giant. They interbred with the gods and the ice giants. So the whole concept of a dwarf being something small, comes from around J.R.R. Tolkien's time. Now, interestingly, though, I want to know when we started calling people, using that term with people for dwarves, you know, because the etymology of that's fascinating, because if dwarves were giants, when did they become small, and did it start from the whole concept of this dwarfs that?
I wonder if that's where Tolkien got it from, or if it was the other way around.
We need to get that crazy hot Russian lady off of YouTube to tell us the etymology of the word.
Yes. Hot for linguistics. Is that it?
I think you're on at least somewhere in the ballpark. All right, cool. Send me all these file segments. What are we up to, like 9 different segments? I'm going to have to edit.
Yeah. Yes, the CIA kept blocking my signal.
I'm only half joking. I was going to say, in your case, that's not an insane conspiracy theory based on where you live.
Yes, but I do disapprove of them broadcasting to my teeth.
Yes. And that's the crazy part. We all know they broadcast only in your dreams and in your fingernails. That's why you should keep your toenail clippings.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
This call is now being recorded.
Okay, this is going to be a pain to fix in post.